Yeah, I think that's part of, like, when players have bought in, they're known that this is the – I mean, everybody mocks Mike Tomlin for the standard is the standard quote that he often frequently uses. But that is very much a mantra of the team that, you know, when you come in, this is, you know, this is a team that's, of course, very proud of the history. I mean, if you're talking to a Steelers fan and they don't mention six Super Bowls in the first 2 minutes, you know, I don't know, you're probably talking to the wrong people. But they're, you know, that is a standard you know met, you know, with, like, this is how you're going to conduct yourself. This is how, you know, this is what's expected of you. And I don't know if that's what they have in Dallas. I mean, Dallas has just as rich of a tradition, championship-wise, great player-wise. But I don't think, you know, like, it almost seems like, you know, the Steelers, football is our business. With the Cowboys, it's like business, branding is our business.
There we go.
Especially Jerry Jones, like, he loves, you know.
Himself.
He loves kind of nurses and to be in the spotlight. You know, where I think that's the main thing that separates them is, you know, I don't know if they have that in Dallas where, you know, again, like I said, they have five Super Bowls. And it's like, I don't know if when the players bought into Dallas, if you're just saying like, okay, this is what you're aspiring to, or just the fact that you're going to look good in that uniform. That's what you're going to aspire to. I think that's a big difference between the two teams.
This is going to be my longest episode ever of Loudmouth Snooks. I was going to do like a breakdown of each position. I don't think I'm going to have time for that. But I don't know. Buckles, do you want to engage in another Romo argument, I guess? Because I feel like we've had a lot of those. And it's been a long time.
For those who don't know, over the years, me and Elias, particularly over Twitter, we have – just any opportunity I have to needle him over Tony Romo is a shot I will take without hesitation.
Well, I was looking Tony today. Romo, I was looking today because I was getting ready. I was getting ready to engage in this again. And, you know, my thing has always been that, you know, Tony Romo will go down as one of the most unappreciated players in NFL history. And the fact that his career was with the Dallas Cowboys, that's his biggest hindrance. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And it's a really good story. I mean, again, like he went to a small school in Eastern Illinois. And then, you know, works himself up through the ranks, gets his big chance, takes it, and then is the quarterback for what, the next decade. There in Dallas, meaning what he has a lot of their passing records he has doesn't
he has them all,
yeah,
yards, touchdown, I mean you name it,
yeah, and
but it amounted to very little success in the postseason, unlike Roethlisberger, who he's still playing, you know, today, and you know, the Steelers, they live in the playoffs. You know, yeah. Romo has, what, four career playoff games compared to Roethlisberger, who's played, like, what, 14?
I think Ben had, what, four. He just had four in his second year alone.
Right. So, I just think, you know, I think Romo was a good enough player to have a, you know, a Super Bowl run or... you know, win some more postseason games. Just the Cowboys didn't have a lot of opportunities for him. And, yeah. You know, and fair or not, that's what's going to, you know, affect his legacy.
Yeah, and I actually honestly think if Tony Romo was on, like, another franchise, say...
Baltimore.
Just probably here, Carolina.
Okay.
If he was, like, on one of those type teams that, you know, that only is... doesn't really have the weight of, you know, the franchise expectations that, say, Dallas does, I think he would be held in a higher regard. But because there is that standard there of, like, you want to be on that team, you want to win championships, and unfortunately, you know, for him, I would say for you, not so much for me, because I'm not going to lie, I did enjoy his, you know, the, you know, what is probably his most marquee moment is fumbling the snap against the Seahawks, and that's a shame, really.
Yeah, but that's one of those moments that it had nothing to do with quarterback play. It was just, you know, he was the backup that season, and he was doing that all year. And I don't know, it's such a weird thing that had to happen to him in that moment. But yeah, I think a lot of people look back at that moment as an indictment against him, and I don't really understand it. I mean, I guess I understand it because it was such a big fail, but I don't know.
It was just a freak play. I mean, again, somebody that, you know, enjoys when bad things happen to the Cowboys, I greatly enjoyed that. But if you look the next year, when they seemed in prime position, what they had with the number one seed in the NFC, and then that Giants team rolls in and beats them in Dallas. I'll ask you, is that the most painful defeat for you as a Cowboys fan?
No, it probably was the defeat that I really did not see coming. I was so sure that we were going to go to the Super Bowl that year. If you want to ask me which loss hurts me the most, because we've had a lot of them, but I think the 2014 team, I think that was a team that really could have gone to the Super Bowl. And that was the year with the playoff game in Green Bay and the Dez Bryant catch or non-catch. That's the one that hurts. Still hurts today. Matter of fact, I tweeted about it today. I think ESPN did a tweet. It was like
something that, I mean, the Schadenfreude came from me hard, because, you know, I remember laughing at that. Ha ha! Look at Dallas fail, and then a couple of years later, the same thing happens with Jesse James for the Steelers against the Patriots. They lose because of that, and the domino effect was, you know, they don't get the number one seed. They have to play Jacksonville in the second round, and
right.
But yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. I mean, if you're going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, of the Dallas Cowboys, there's a standard there that they want you to meet. I mean, you know, the championship standard, and for the longest time, the Steelers just did not have that. You look between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger, just a lot of workmanlike quarterbacks, I guess is the nicest way you could phrase it, with the likes, you know, of Mark Malone, Bubby Brister, Neil O'Donnell.
It's just hard. Yeah. It's so hard to find the guy at that position. And, you know, Dallas went through it with, you know, after Aikman. So, you know, when you find, I think the one, quote from Jerry Jones that, you know, remains true about Tony Romo, that he was a miracle. You know, Parcells, you know, made that into, you know, he was, you know, undrafted. I mean, you know the story. So, you know, we find him out of nowhere. And then right now with the situation with Dak Prescott, where, you know, fourth round pick, you know, I didn't think he was going to turn into what he has turned into. I mean, he was before the injury, and I don't know if he was going to throw for 400 yards every game. I feel like he would have had to do that if we were, you know, trying to win a game because our defense was so bad. He was gonna break Peyton Manning's record this year.
Yeah,
and then he broke his foot. So yeah. I mean, it's just really hard to find consistency at that position, and the Cowboys were able to make that transition from Romo to Dak Prescott. I mean, that's special.
I mean, rarely is it seamlessly like it is. I mean, I think they really did do a good job with that. I'd say for the longest time, the Steelers weren't looking for that guy, because their offensive identity has always been, we run the ball, and then we run the ball again, and then we run the ball some more. You know, so like it didn't really, they weren't really looking for that quote unquote the guy. That, you know, they just want the guy that's going to hand off the ball, not turn it over. And, you know, but when they finally did do that, the draft Ben Roethlisberger, of course, you know, just the craziness of that, you know, that, remember the whole thing, the issue with Eli Manning not wanting to go to the Chargers, and just kind of that, everything that had to fall in line with,
yeah,
them, you know, the Giants drafting.
That could have been a really different situation.
And, you know, that whole craziness to where Ben Roethlisberger falls to the Steelers when he was not supposed to be there. The thing I always remember the day, you know, on draft day is when he's being interviewed, because, you know, again, he was supposed to be a top 10 pick. And like, he's basically been interviewed on air saying like, oh, is it a surprise where you're not drafted yet? And then his agent gets a call from Mike, you know, from Bill Cowher, and his agent practically tackled Susie Culver, to give Ben Roethlisberger the phone to say, like, you know, you're coming to the Steelers. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously made a world of difference in the modern NFL. You know, you really have to have that kind of key play, just the way the game has evolved to where you have to have the quarterback. And luckily the Steelers, you know, found their guy in Ben Roethlisberger. It's, you know, it's been ups and downs, but it's been more ups than downs in his tenure. Of course, getting them the elusive fifth Super Bowl, getting them the sixth a couple years later, then getting back to the Super Bowl a couple years after that. It's just, you know.
Well, he's still on the journey. He's still in it.
I think he's still looking for that kind of that capstone championship. Honestly, everything goes well this year. Best case scenario, the Steelers win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be surprised if he walked away after that. Just the amount of punishment that he's taken in his career, I think is a bit underrated. I mean, he's been through it in his career, physically, not just the elbow surgery, but just seemingly every bunch of different ailments. But I think. Yeah, but yeah, the post Ben is not something I want to think about as a Steeler fan. They keep trying to draft these kind of these filler ends, and you can see where it's. I mean, last year was this is what it's going to be in the future without Ben Roethlisberger, because they're probably not going to be in a position to where they can acquire. They're going to have to dig deep to find that guy.
I can't wait. You know, I can't wait for that. You know, I don't think Mason Rudolph is it. That's all I gotta say. I don't think he's it.
I'm not much of that faith either.
So okay, honest. So November 8th. What do you expect to see? I mean, do you want to make a jersey bet? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't have any hope with the Cowboys right now. And, I mean, I know any given Sunday, you know, Mike Tomlin has a reputation about, you know, kind of not playing his strongest on the road sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
Not just on the road, but the further west the Steelers go,
right,
is the more the struggle.
The Steelers have these weird games against Arizona or San Francisco, you know, why wouldn't that happen? I mean, the last two games against the Cowboys were classics. Absolute classics. Yeah. I mean, not even the last two, really. Close games.
The Steelers won in 2004 and 2008, and then we won
the last two.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they've all been tight games. That's why I guess where I'm, you know, I'm expecting to where, again, the Steelers are going to be in these running games. Road games at that for the Steelers. I mean, they're in Tennessee last week. They're in Baltimore this week. And again, they're going to be traveling to Dallas. That's three straight weeks on the road. Again, without much of a break. And again, like that bugaboo for the Mike Tomlin era has been, you know, the road games, the further west they go.
Don't give me hope. Don't give me hope.
The games with the Baltimore Ravens are always very physical, very emotional, to where there's going to be something taken out of the Steelers this week, without a doubt, before going to Dallas.
I hope the Steelers are going to go into Dallas thinking it's a layup. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday against Baltimore. I really don't. I mean, I feel like that's going to be a really good game. That's going to be appointment television for me. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The Steelers are not going to leave that game unscathed. It just matters. I mean, hopefully, like I said, I've given up on the season. It would be nice if the Cowboys could win one more game this season. I would like it to be that one, but I don't see it.
I think I have a little more hope for them than you do, just because again I know the Steelers' issues on the road, and it's a game I feel the Steelers should win, and win pretty handily at that. I mean, I would think about 10 plus points is what they should win it by.
We can't stop anybody. Yeah. I mean, I know the Steelers are banged up front a little bit on the offensive line, and we can't get consistent pressure. We don't force turnovers. We can't stop the run. It just feels like a game where, you know, the Steelers are going to do what they want offensively, and then on defense, we have a third string offensive line. You know, we can't protect our quarterback. We can't run the ball. It's just I don't know how, but I'll be watching and you can troll me. I invite you to troll me. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm old. But I'm gonna try to end it here. I was gonna see if we can argue about that 2008 Defensive Player of the Year thing. DeMarcus Ware had 20 sacks, Buckles. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of sacks, but James Harrison was, what, at 16? Just the big plays that he made consistently throughout the year. I mean, just kind of what do you think he had? He had a bunch of strip sacks.
I'm so happy that DeMarcus Ware was able to get his championship, by the way. I'm so happy for that.
Yeah.
I was so mad when we cut him.
If that was, say, if like James Harrison would have won when he went to the Patriots and they would have won a Super Bowl, I'd have been like, yeah, F that guy. I will say a story I think I have to share from that 2008 year.
I think I know it, but go ahead.
Yeah. The Steelers and Cowboys, of course, play that year. A late emotional win for the Steelers, and DeSay Townsend gets the interception. Tony Romo goes in and scores. I practically scream myself hoarse, yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" After that, after the game's over, I go we're both in college at Windsor University. I go to where the computer lab was in our comm building on the third floor.
We had a final the next day.
Typing away angrily. Like, it is like loud typing. And I see you at Connor in the corner of my eye, and I was not going to look for you. Like, I was going to be, the next day I was going to, find you out and then kind of rib you some. But I figured, like, oh, I'll do it now when nobody else is around. And of course I go up and I say, sorry, Elias, but how about them Cowboys? And you just, I don't think you even looked at me. Like, you just stared straight ahead and you were like, F you, F you.
Listen, we had a final the next day. I was really like focused in onto, wherever that final was on. I was my head was so far away from that game. What happened in that game? I remember T.O. caught one in the back of the end zone, and then
there was practically no scoring until the fourth quarter.
Deshaun Choice had a good game in that one.
Yeah,
but I was crushed.
They had a goal line stand early there in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Where I still believe it was. I believe the score was 10-6 at that point. And 10-6 Dallas, and they got a goal line stand. Steelers actually come back the next possession. I'm probably flubbing the score here because the I'm not sure. I'm going to screw it up, but Steelers came back the next drive. They scored on Heath Miller had a touchdown.
Yep.
And that the pick six by Deshae Townsend finally put him ahead. Put him ahead for good. And that was like I remember those one of those games where I was watching where Ben seemed to be holding on to the ball a lot, which he did very much in his early tenure. And I remember screaming, "Throw the effing ball!" at some point there in the third quarter. As anybody that lived next to me in my college years will know, I had a very I tend to be a very quiet person, but you would not know that from when Steeler games were on. And of course, I tend to have a very coarse mouth during those as well.
I really enjoyed myself the last two meetings. I don't think I think I'm gonna get my comeuppance.
You definitely time. Trolled me back after. I remember after the 2016 game where you went and like quote treated a bunch of my tweets about this sucks, this is terrible, and you're like, no, it's not, this is great. And,
I didn't get to go to the game. I was watching at the bar at I forget which one on the North Shore. Man, that was a really fun game, really fun environment because I feel like the bar was like split. There were so many Cowboys fans there. I thought I would be outnumbered, but when Zeke scored that touchdown, like the place just exploded.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing was like the Steelers and Cowboys. They have like the big national fan bases, but within the two cities, there's a lot of fans of both teams. I remember being around a lot of Dallas fans when I was growing up because, of course, they were the dominant team. And I'm going to out myself here a little bit to where when I was younger, of course, everybody of our generation when we were younger, if you were a guy, you were a sports fan, you had the starter's jacket, and my first one was a Dallas Cowboys one.
Wow.
I was about 6-7 years old. And I remember being at like a party or something that my parents were at, and it was in like a lodge or something. And the Cowboys playoff game, because it was in January or so, was on TV, and there were people around TV watching it. And I remember I walk over and like Dallas did something good, and I did like a little cheer. And like these are all adults, and they all turn and stare at me. And I remember one guy was like, it's like, this is Steeler country, pal. Get out of here. And like I'm like 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
I was beginning stages of being my Steeler fanhood at the time.
Right. I spent a large chunk of my childhood in North Carolina, but I have family in Pittsburgh, so I always had that Pittsburgh connection. Though when I first started being a fan, I was always a Cowboys fan, but I always considered the Steelers like my second team, I guess, my AFC team, I guess. But when I moved back up here for middle school and stuff in high school, no, you can't do that. You can't. You're a Cowboys fan, or you can't have both. So, I'll tell you this: when I moved back up to Pittsburgh for middle school, I did have a Steelers jersey. Would you like to guess which player it was?
Let's see here. We're looking like what, late 90s, early 2000s there.
Yes. I give you a hint. It wasn't a quarterback.
It wasn't. Was it a Bettis jersey?
No, it was not a Bettis jersey. It was Plaxico Burress. When he was a rookie. So I don't know why. I mean, my dad knew that, you know, I was a, you know, Cowboys fan, but I don't know why I had possession of that Plaxico Burress jersey. I gave it away, and then it wasn't until my freshman year of high school where I was able to, you know, get my own, my first Dallas Cowboys jersey that I've bought was a 31 Roy Williams.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get into a, I mean, Roy Williams was a beast, but I mean, I hate the Steelers, but I mean, Troy Polamalu, what he did at the safety position, I don't think that, I mean, that's, I mean, he was great.
If you're talking safety play within the last 40 years, you're talking Ed Reed, you're talking Troy Polamalu. That's when the conversation starts.
Roy Williams kind of fell off. He had a great start, and then he just couldn't cover anymore. He was just like a glorified linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that used to always make me mad is how people try to put Bob Sanders, if you remember him,
into
that conversation with Ed Reed and Troy Palma. I remember, especially in the playoff game the Steelers played against the Colts, where, you know, they particularly seemed to be picking on Bob Sanders. And you know, it's like, yeah.
No, he wasn't it. He wasn't on that level. All right, well, what I'm going to do, Buckles, I'm going to split this segment because, I mean, we're over an hour, so I'm just going to split the segment. But you gave me tons of content, and I want to thank you for that, and hopefully my laptop can handle this and save it.
I'm sorry for going on the tangents I did.
No, it's good. You're fine. Once again, I just thank you for doing this, and you know, death to the Steelers, I guess. I don't know.
No, man.
I mean,
forever. So
it's gonna hurt on November 8th. It's gonna hurt, but don't worry. I won't hide. You can troll me. I won't hide. I promise. All right, so Loudmouth Schnooks, I'm Elias McMillan, thanking my guest, Robert Buckles. You can find me on Twitter, @Elias McMillan, and I'm going to post this soundcloud.com/Elias McMillan Pod. I don't know. I haven't had the time, you know, but I don't know. I might do something for the middle of the season. I like to think after week 9 is the middle of the season, so maybe I'll do another.